This is January 27, 1986, and this is Rita Durant speaking.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say good afternoon, Mr.
Mayor. Good afternoon to you again.
Jim McGill, it's very, very nice to be here. My name is Rita Durant.
I know.
And of course, I'm representing the New Hope Historical Society, and it's been a great pleasure to congratulate you.
Well, thank you, and I'm certainly willing to cooperate with you in any way I can now.
Very good. I'd like to start out by getting some biographical information. I know that this is certainly on record in this area, but we'd like to hear you tell about it. Can you tell me where you were born and about your parents?
I was born in Carversville, Pennsylvania, on the 4th of July, 1912. My father, R.C. McGill, M.D., was also born in Carversville, and my mother, Kate Lyons, L-Y-O-N-S, came from Lambertville. And she was a musician, taught music, and played in orchestras, and she was playing in an orchestra in Carversville for performances or dances, I'm not sure which, and that's where she met my father. And they were married in early 1911, I believe. And he had graduated from medical school in 1906 and practiced in Carversville. And we moved from Carversville in 1915 to New Hope.
Well, I don't want to get ahead of my story here, Ms. McGill. I would like to know about your grandparents. I'd like to go back as far as you can go first, before we go ahead. Can you tell them about your grandparents?
Well, my paternal grandparents I did not know too well. They were gone before I was born. I know that my paternal grandfather was John McGill. He was from Carversville, and his wife, I believe, was named Maud. I'm not sure. And he was a farmer and also a township road supervisor. And the McGills before them went back to the middle 18th century. They were all Quaker people. And the first one was William McGill, who came to Solbury in 1726, I was told. And he had been a tailor. He came with Penn's people and had lived in Bristol and then wanted to go into farming and moved from Bristol up to Solbury Township.
Goodness, were there a lot of Quaker people in this area?
Oh, indeed, yes. It was almost totally
settled.
That's right.
And was Carversville then pretty much a Quaker settlement?
Pretty much. It was the Solbury meeting was one of the early ones, the Buckingham meeting, and I'm sure Ms. Ritchie would bear this out.
Sure.
I think the Buckingham meeting was earlier, probably one of the earliest in the county, and Solbury meeting was not too long after that.
I think that's 1802, if I'm not
mistaken.
Mm-hmm. From the research we've done so far.
Yeah.
And who was Carver?
I can't tell. I don't know. No.
That would be interesting to know after all these years.
Yeah, those facts I think you would pretty well almost certainly find in the Bucks County Historical Society.
Well, that's interesting about your parents. And you think probably when they came from England.
They did.
Way back they came.
That's right, way on back in the early very early 18th century.
And how about education? Did you go to school in Carversville, or did you have to travel?
No. You see, I came to New Hope when I was 3.
Oh, I see.
And I started in 1915. I was born in 1912. Came to New Hope when I was 3 and had my whole elementary school education in the public schools of New Hope.
I see. And where was that? I thought that was
the hill. It was on the hill. That's right.
On the hill,
mm-hmm.
Where they had sometimes gypsy bands roaming up there?
There were gypsy. We used to see gypsies on occasion. That's right. They came by in wagons and told fortunes and the like. And my high school graduating class was 1930. And I think the last one to graduate from the Hill was 1931. And then they went to the new school, which is out on 202. Right.
How about your childhood friends? Are there any that are still around or that have stayed in the community these many years?
There are a few, but not too many. I would say I'd count maybe three or four at the very most.
That are still in the community.
That's right. Mr. Hayes, who has the photo shop across here, and Charles Matthews, who was retired from the post office. And then there's a Mr. McElmoyle out the road, who we were children together. The present chief of police of New Hope, Walter Everett, we knew each other as kids. He's quite a little bit younger than I am. We were in the same period in grade school.
Yes, I think I've heard of him. He's doing a fine job.
He is indeed.
Yes. Then you moved here when you were three and went to school, and your father was in practice in New Hope then?
He did practice medicine in New Hope.
And he was an eye surgeon?
He was in total practiced medicine for 40 years. The first 20 years were general practice, just general medicine, went out making house calls and the rest. And after about the first 12, 15 years, he became interested in eyes. And finally phased out the general practice and went into totally into ophthalmology. He took special courses in Philadelphia. He went to Will's Eye Hospital, also at Lankenau Hospital, and then after that he still spent one or two days a week in Philadelphia doing eye examinations at Lankenau Hospital and also at Northeastern Hospital in Northeast Philly.
Well, he was really considerably ahead of himself, really, as far as the rest of the country was concerned, that for a man who lived in such a small village to have such a very narrow specialty. Like
that's true. That's right. You would there weren't that. There were, of course, ophthalmologists in Trenton and Philadelphia.
Right.
And I don't know. There might have been one in Doylestown in those years. I'm not sure.
Yes. And how about the? I understand that you have a very keen interest in the artistic community and in art per se. How did you become interested in art?
I became interested in art through my father, and his hobby was painting. He was always good at drawing. When he went to a prep school in George School, and he was excellent in drawing there. And after he started to practice medicine on weekends, he went out painting and became quite a good painter. He had he had a painting accepted at the Pennsylvania Academy, a portrait that he did.
My goodness.
And then he exhibited here at the Phillips Mill and various other places in the area. I do not paint or draw. I never had that natural talent, but I've always had a keen interest in it. And that comes from the fact that he did take me to many museums when I was a youngster and taught me the basics of what good painting is.
Right.
And my interest in that has continued to this day, and I'm still connected with the Bucks County Council on the Arts in with the headquartered in Doylestown. And we're having a new committee on the arts in the borough of New Hope. This is the first time that this borough has officially taken any interest in the arts. We've always been interested. It's always been an artist town. But officially, we do have now a committee for promotion of all things artistic, and I, as the mayor, am chairman of that committee.
Oh, I think that's just a wonderful step forward.
Well, we hope so.
Yes. How do you think this might be expressed in some material way?
Well, the committee has met once. We meet again tomorrow night, and we're trying to come up with something to give a rebirth of art in New Hope. It's, as I say, we 30-40 years ago, we had many of the greats. There's still many fine painters here, but it seems to have lost some of its, we need to get it more before the public. And what we plan to do now is to have something, I don't know what yet, in the arts, probably in the month of June this year. Now, whether this will take the form of a concert, an art exhibition, ballet, theatricals, I don't know yet. And this depends on the decision of the committee that I'm now working with. But we want to say New Hope as a borough is doing something for the arts. And we want to say it, you know, so they see it.
Yes, and not just the theater arts.
We're not counting out the theater arts. Of course, the Bucks County Playhouse is here. And they will be in action all summer. We may do something, it may be an exhibition of paintings and sculpture. And one of the members of our board is Ms. Goldrin, who was a premier dancer with ballet in New York, and we may end up with ballet, I don't know. I'm not sure yet, but this will be a continuing thing.
One of my favorite art forms, was ballet,
right.
Yes. So I understand that you're you went to school away from New Hope as well. You went to college somewhere, didn't you?
I went to East Stroudsburg State College and received there a degree in health education, which I never used. I was graduated from there in 1934, and the economy at that time was exceptionally poor, and I had an opportunity to get one high school teaching job for the sum of $900 a year. And so at the same time I was offered a job with the government. Actually, I went to Washington with a congressman, and I was making close to $1,500 a year. So I took that job, and my work from there on in was, my career was with the federal government.
Washington for quite some time.
I was in Washington from only about 7-8 years. And part of that time I worked with the congressman, and the rest of it I transferred over and worked in the Library of Congress. And then in 1942, I was married but had no children, so I was drafted into the service. I was classed 1A. And joined the Navy and spent 3 years in the Navy during World War II, and came out in 45 and went with the United States Customs Service. And I spent the rest of my government career there, and I've been retired from federal service for a good many years now. But since that time, of course, I've been in New Hope, and I started a little business dealing in services here, repairs, and I wanted to keep busy, naturally, and I have a small business in which I repair lamps and jewelry and go to Philadelphia every week with the silver plating and jewelry repair stuff, and also can have been on an endless number of boards and committees for the borough. And that's probably the reason that I was asked to run for mayor.
Oh, I should say. Well, I know that people look up to you as the number one citizen, and did even before you were elected mayor. Since I've been working on the oral history program, they kept saying, you must interview Mr. McGill because he's our number one citizen.
Well,
so you must be very much appreciated, and certainly you are very much loved in this community.
Well, my interest in the community has never lagged, mm-hmm. And to say that one likes you, I suppose that I would have to say yes, because I was elected with a pretty good vote.
That's so. Right. But I think, too, that people know when your interest in the area is a sincere interest and not just purely a political.
That's true. I agree. Yeah, that certainly is true, because I was interested in the community before I took really any active part in politics.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. This is such a vibrant, wonderful, exciting community. It's not a sleepy little village in Andrea, Delaware. It's a very exciting and upbeat place, I think. And I know that as mayor, you're going to have some interesting times. Can I ask you about certain things that might interest local citizens? And that is, how about parking for the people who come here?
Parking in New Hope, the borough is one mile square, and the town is full.
Yes.
And having been in Europe, I several times I say, why don't Americans use smaller cars? The Americans use big cars, and I don't really know the solution to the parking problem. We seem to be handling it on weekends through the use of the large lot at the bank and also a large lot at the high school.
Yeah. And there's one that's south of me. There's paid parking.
That's right. These are all paid, but they're one, two, three that the borough has.
Yeah. Yes. The large one at the school, I think, is extremely popular.
That's right. It's used a lot, and I don't see... I don't see any other way to go about it. There will be probably coming on another extensive building project up in the Village 2 area. Mm-hmm. Many, many units to be added there, and if every family has a car, it's going to compound things.
Yes.
And it's also going to compound a way to get out of town, and there are highway problems to be solved before this takes place. And I don't know whether it's going to be the use of Sugan Road runs across the back of the Village 2 area, and whether that could be made large enough to get rid of some of the congestion. I don't know.
Well,
we cross this when we talk. Cross this when we get to it.
How about the lower Main Street scene? That seems a little tacky sometimes.
Okay.
Is there something we can do about that?
The lower Main Street scene is, it's been mentioned to me before, and as a child here, 50, 60 years ago, South Main Street was never, with the exception of one or two buildings, was never architecturally a beautiful place. I mean, there were just small homes, and that hasn't changed. I mean, there are good buildings in New Hope, many beautiful buildings, but that part of town was mainly mill workers, laborers, and consequently they were the not pretentious at all. They've stayed that way, and I think one of the things that has made them look tacky is that they're almost all shops now, and all the shops. Every shopkeeper has different tastes, naturally, and he has a different kind of sign, a different advertisement, a different color of sign, and it gets to look as sort of a conglomerate, but the question arises is, we have zoning, we have, in some areas, fairly strict zoning, but there is an ordinance as to restriction to the size of signs, but when you try to restrict a color and a design, you get into the area of trying to legislate someone's taste, and that could, in court, border on, you know, just not being un-American, but it'd be unfair. And it is a very touchy area. And we have enlarged our historic zone and have a new board of historic architectural review and who keep a close watch on those parts of town, and it's much larger than it was. And this part of New Hope through the years is going to look very good. It's not going to happen overnight because we can't tell someone to make an alteration to their home if they're not ready to do it. But if they're in the historic district when they decide to do it, then they must meet with the historic board, review board, and talk over what they plan to do. And the area where this is going to be of value to us is the very fact that we are on the edge of a great megalopolis, which they tell us is going to be one city from Boston to Baltimore, and we're really on the west, on the western edge of it. Now we're being pushed by urbanization, and we have to be very careful and mind our zoning, else we can be in trouble. But I have confidence that the zoning, the historic zoning board, and the planning board. And the rest of, I know borough government is very cognizant of what could happen to us.
And we're very concerned about people's rights.
That's the only way, and it's not an easy path to try.
Absolutely. When I see what has happened in Center City, Philadelphia, to the historic buildings there, how lovely they look. I'm sure there's a way that we can...
Well, even closer to home,
repair.
Yeah, and closer to home, I have to say that Lambertville is looking very good.
It
look, and again, but in many, in if you took all of New Hope and all of Lambertville, Lambertville, in truth, has better buildings to work with. It's more solid, larger, almost mansions on North Union Street. And this is because of the fact that in Lambertville, 50 to 75 years ago, Lambertville was an industrial town. New Hope had maybe three industries, a paper mill, a bag mill, and maybe a couple of silk mills. Lambertville had two rubber mills, two paper mills. Oh, they had a canning factory. They had a pottery. And the people who owned these manufacturing places were not poor people. Consequently, they built stone, brick, beautiful homes. And these in Lambertville are now being carefully worked on and restored, and I have to give them a hurrah for that, because they're really doing a beautiful job.
Yes,
and we have good stuff here, and we're going to do our best to preserve it. There's marijuana around. I see no evidence of like the popular drug today is cocaine, and there haven't been any cocaine busts to my knowledge recently.
Not recently.
No.
I think we've been pretty clean.
We've been very fortunate.
Yeah. I don't have this in my notes, but it just seems like the article that Charles Shaw did in our New Hope Gazette just recently about the AIDS scare.
Yeah.
Something that really is worth mentioning today, because we've had such a good report. And, where there is an artistic community, there is quite a gay community. And I think that we have to acknowledge that area.
Okay. To our knowledge, there have been no cases here. Now, that's not to say that should a person develop what he might believe to be AIDS, that doesn't say that he has to go to Doylestown or a Bucks County hospital to have it treated. He can go anywhere to have it diagnosed. And consequently, we might not know it. On the other hand,
he could go to Huntington.
Oh, he could go anywhere. That's right. Anywhere. But I'm confident that probably there are no cases here. I think the biggest problem we have right now is the fear.
Yes.
The fear of it affecting us. And I also feel that we've all had fears, and I think this is something that is going to quiet down, and by spring we'll just have passed on. And I've watched all programs that I could watch on the tube regarding AIDS, and there is some progress being made. I went to Trinity in Solbury 10 days ago for a meeting concerning it, and the main thing that happened at that meeting was that it was described in detail, the incubation period and what happens and the details of the disease itself. And it's not quite what I said to Bill Wood afterward. It's not quite what I expected. What I'm interested in is, as Mayor Newhope, is if it turns up, how do we handle the people who are going to be upset? The shopkeepers, the
crowd control.
Well, in that sense, yeah, yes. That's right. And so I'm going to have another talk with him. We didn't have time to talk that much.
We didn't deal with panic or hysteria.
That's right. And I don't think we're going to have it because I got several phone calls about this from people who own shops. What are you going to do? Mm-hmm. Well, I said what we're going to do is just ride it out because we don't have anything right now. And I want to go back, and since this has come up, just a little bit to my early years and say that I've lived here so long, and there have been a number of gay people in this community for as long as I can remember. And most of them are mature, monogamous relationships. We have no bathhouses. We have no one contributing to the delinquency of minor children.
Our
record is good in that regard.
Yes.
And we don't have, well, maybe with slight exception, we don't have weekend cruisers, people who just are awful out for casual affairs. I say, no matter how you feel about the fact that a person is gay, I must say that New Hope, as I said before, they're long-term monogamous relationships. And if this is the case, I think we have much less to worry about than were we in a large city. Heaven knows we're safer than San Francisco, for instance.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. And that's the way I feel about it. I don't think it's... there is progress. I mean, the last thing... Tom Brokaw was on a couple hours with it. Now, they indicate at the end of that program that there are some strides being made. I have a feeling that it's probably, for the type of thing it is, it may well be conquered before cancer.
There's a good chance that it would be, yes. I think that's probably true. We know that it's a virus.
That's right.
We know how it happens, but this is something that we don't know about cancer.
That's right.
You know,
not for sure.
There's lots of mysteries that
that's right.
So you really do have a point. But I feel relieved to know that you're very much aware of what's going on.
I am indeed. I think I am. I try my best.
Because we have some of our business here is food service. You know,
that's right.
And the food service industry
is
quite a throbbing big industry in New Hope.
But you see, at this meeting did go into detail how this thing can be come about and be transmitted from one person to another. And an interesting thing, I wouldn't name the name of the place, but there is a restaurant that I've heard of nearby that is requesting prospective employees to take a blood test before they start to work.
I think that would be a good idea. I really do.
And, you know, they can walk away. They don't have to accept.
I think there's one restaurant in particular, I won't name names, but there's one in particular that seems to thrive on the... a very classy place, too, by the way. Ellen Food. It seems to draw a weekend crowd that's not exactly.
Well, there's no doubt about the fact that New Hope has a reputation for being a haven for gay people. Mm-hmm. But that is, you see, I do not judge, because I have no right to, and I don't think any of us have a right to sit in judgment of others' morals. I mean that the gay community has been looked down upon in so many areas, and I think they're probably less looked down upon.
Can I get that for you? Okay. Let me make sure your microphone is on. And you have an appointment pretty soon, so we're going to have to wrap up. And let's tell our tape that, so we know that we're sort of rushing a little bit.
Well,
and you're just very gracious.
Would you? Yeah, but now, I messed up. I just had forgotten. I didn't realize that these people involves new tenants in my place below.
Sure.
And even though this is on the record, if you would like me at some future time, I'll come to your place if you wish.
Oh, how lovely.
I'd be happy to, because I want to, if we do it, it shouldn't be rushed. And if there are, you probably have other questions that you want to ask.
I've got some pretty sharp questions.
All right, go ahead.
If you could, I know that you have been interested in politics for most of your life. And
I have.
If you could spend a day with a famous person from the past, who would that be? Spend a day with someone, a political.
Well, I have two people come to my mind, and I, right off the top of my head, I can't tell you which one I would prefer. Is that somebody at the back door?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll get it.
Can I get it? All right. I don't have anything wet on my shoes, but I'm going to sit down and get my boots on.
So yeah, well, things
I can
change.
Make a
I mean,
quick exit.
We can go ahead till the doorbell rings again.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, because...
Why, what happened?
Well, this was a meeting between the two new tenants.
Yes.
And Mr. Cosner.
Yes.
And Mr. Cosner has gotten called away. So the two new tenants will be going to Mr. Cosner's office at 2 o'clock.
Instead of...
And, well, I had a date for 2 o'clock. But he won't be there, and neither will I, because he has to go out to a fire loss adjustment. So after, I assume that they will come back in here. So we can go ahead, and I may have to go downstairs and meet with them in
what?
20 minutes, a half hour.
Oh, well, fine. I'm taking a picture there.
You get it.
You're so photogenic. I have to do that.
This, I've got this on,
nice,
so I guess this is being taped.
Yes, we're just taping. It's okay. It isn't all that.
How long does that make a sound when it's finished? And you have to flip it over?
Yes, you can hear a click. If we're quiet enough, we can hear that it has gone through one cycle. But it's usually about 50, it's 90 minutes.
Oh, well, we don't have to worry about that.
So we don't see they're rolling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we don't have to worry about it. well, I was rushing, but...
well, we can ease off a little now if you want.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I asked you about... a famous person that you
might have in the past
that you might
have
in the past a little.
Well, I have to think, I won't go way back in history, but I have to think of my lifetime, mm-hmm. And it would probably be FDR or Harry Truman. I think most likely FDR.
I knew you were going to say that.
I cast my first vote for him in 1932. And, you know, it's just the way I happen to feel. And I was fortunate in this past May in going to Washington for Peter Kochmeyer in a senior intern program. And it's... very interesting. One of the most interesting things I've ever done.
Really?
Because you're, there are 200 of us, I guess.
Really?
Yeah.
Goodness. Now, we're senior intern in what way?
Well...
For senior citizens?
Yeah, it's for senior citizens, but it's something that the Congress enacted. Every year, every senator and representative is allowed to invite one person to Washington for a week, and you have a series of lectures, conferences, meetings, and dialogues with the senators and the congressmen. And these take place in the caucus rooms of the House Office Building in the Capitol and the Senate Office Building. And it's Congress's idea to learn more about the aging. And the reason they're doing this is because the older people are, let me put it this way, the fastest growing segment of our population is 85 and up.
Oh, good grief, really?
Yep.
Isn't that amazing.
There are 25,000 people in the United States 100 years old and over, 25,000.
Isn't that amazing?
So it's,
I hope to be one of them.
Well, you kind of do, too. You see, it was the business of youth must be served, and
yes.
And the greater proportion of the population is in that group, but it's changing.
Yes,
and
it
Congress is just now getting used to the fact that things are different, and that's the reason
yes.
they've called this every year.
That's
and
true.
It's
I would love to do that.
And you, I called Peter and asked him if he'd consider me for this. He has a different person every year, mm-hmm. and he said sure. And I went down and I enjoyed it tremendously.
I think I'll call him and ask him if he'll consider me.
Why not? sure, why not?
I'm strictly a late bloomer.
Well, that's all right. And it pays. You're on the congressional payroll.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Very nice.
I think I got something like $300 for the week.
That would be very
now,
nice.
The people who came from the West Coast got more because they included their airfare
very
and so on.
Fair.
And we had them from out in Guam, on Hawaii, all over.
Oh, that would be so good.
And one of the most interesting parts with all the teaching or listening and lecturing and all the rest, mm-hmm. the most interesting part of it is to be for a week with people who are right in your own age group. And you're talking with them all week and learning
yes.
how they handle certain problems of aging.
Right.
And you can really learn a lot more from somebody who's doing it than somebody from a textbook or from a lecture.
Yes, that is a very interesting subject.
It was a very exciting thing.
I have a niece who was one of the writers of a book called Growing Old Gracefully that was published in Pennsylvania. Right? Did you have people with intervention magazine?
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah.
I can't remember.
Rodale.
That's it, Rodale Press.
I know. I've met Bob Rodale. He's quite a guy.
Well, I think that your choice of Roosevelt is a very fine choice.
Well,
complex and very exciting man.
Well, and the thing of it was that when I'm not condemning Hoover, but the country was obviously in terrible condition, no matter whose fault it was.
Right.
And we were so fortunate because anyone who opposed Hoover almost could have been elected.
Absolutely.
We were just lucky that it happened to be FDR.
Yes. I remember those days very well.
Yeah.
I was thinking about, I wish that you could possibly see almost a twin city, very much like New Hope. It's called Nashville, Indiana.
Yeah.
Have you heard of Nashville, Indiana?
Been in Indiana.
Well,
and I've never heard of Nashville.
Nashville, Indiana is a little village about 17 miles from Indiana University in Bloomington.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's nestled in there in the hills of the lower part of the state. And this is strictly an artistic community.
Mm-hmm.
And just for laughs, it's between Bean Blossom and Novum.
That's
but
funny.
It is a community of painters and artists.
Oh, fun.
And the reason I'd like you to see it is I'd like to have you see what they have done for local artists.
Mm.
They have a museum in town that is open to the public. And I think it would be nice if we had one here. Wouldn't that be nice?
This shows
all the collection of painters that have been collected by the city of Nashville, the village of Nashville, and the public can go and see it. That they're preserved for the historical society.
Something like this was thought of many, many years ago by the New Hope Historical Society to have a museum, a small museum of what they now call the New Hope School, like Spencer, Garber, Redfield, Braden,
right.
and the rest of them.
Right.
And the idea then was that the Parry Barn would house this collection, which was a great idea, except that the Historical Society couldn't get along financially if they didn't get the rent from the Parry Barn. Had the Society forgotten that they owned the Redfield?
Yes, they sort of had forgotten, or it was conveniently forgotten. And it was brought up just recently, and Senator Williams came rushing down to the meeting and said, you can have it as soon as I can replace it.
Oh, yeah, well, I don't think, I certainly don't think the Williamsons would forget it.
Oh, no, 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 I'm sure they didn't. But we also have a Lathrop that was given to us last year.
Oh.
And we have
did Ann, Ann give you that?
Ann, like, yeah.
I saw.
I found some information then about
meetings that were owned by the Historical Society. Yeah. I saw Sally, oh, I guess, in the market the other day, and she tells me that there's someone coming over here from the Whitney Museum.
Oh, really?
To talk about the what we now call the New Hope School.
New Hope School.
And she and Ann are going to talk. She said, would you sit in? And I said, sure, I guess I will.
I'd love to be there. I wonder where they
I have no idea. She's well, you can ask her.
I sure will. I will ask her. I think that would be neat to go. I picked up a magazine in my eye doctor's waiting room with that, and it was a big ad about an exhibit that was going on in Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Uh-huh, yes.
And it was the New Hope School.
That's right.
And that was May of 1984. And I told Ann Lathrop about that when we met, and she said she didn't even know about it.
Well, it's interesting because I think there probably were Lathrop paintings in it.
Really?
Oh, I'm almost sure because the man who started that exhibition is not, sadly enough, is not now living. His name was Richard Stewart.
Oh.
And he started a gallery and was and still is on the second floor of the Pipersville Inn.
Oh, yes.
Okay, Dick Stewart started that gallery.
I think this is about the end of this tape, so I'm going to say thank you, Mr. Mayor, even though you're on the telephone.
Yeah.
And
I do.
See if we can stop this for a minute.